thankful that the truth has come out before the election and not afterwards, but it might have been too late. So I can't anticipate what Governor Carter may say about people like Travis Ward and Herb Half for their acts of conscience and courage. Maybe you'll say they were brainwashed, as he said of President Ford, but I believe they should be saluted for their integrity. And I believe there are many, many more people like them out in the country who are going to vote for the Ford-Dole ticket next Tuesday. And as we look over the campaign, and we can be in a position now to be very objective about the campaign, I think it boils down to the fact who has the experience, who's demonstrated the leadership, who can best lead this nation for 4 more years. And any way you slice it, that man is President Ford. And we need his help, and we need your help, and we're going to get it done on Tuesday in the state of Oregon and in the state of Idaho and all across this country with your help. And I just hope we go at it and go to work at it. We need young Americans, and we need foster grandparents, and we need, right, and we need everyone. I would just stress two small things, or important thing, but very briefly. As Bob Packwood said, we serve on two committees together, on finance, and I'm on one together, and then I'm on agriculture and also the budget committee. I am the ranking Republican on the Senate Agriculture Committee. President Ford has said that come January, I'll have a very important role to play in agriculture. Bob Packwood knows, and Mark Hatfield knows, and Bob Dole knows that the future prosperity of agriculture lies in our export markets. And that's a role the President said I will have a very important part in. And so I stress that to those who may have an interest in agriculture, whether you live in Pendleton or whether you live on the farm, we understand that America's farmers sell everything wholesale and buy everything retail. But they're still the lifeblood of our economy. They're the lifeblood of America. And if they don't prosper, we don't prosper. And I have a commitment to try to help America's farmers. And let me touch on one other point. Much has been said about the embargo. President Ford, I think, made a mistake. I said so at the time. I didn't wait till somebody asked me to be vice president and say, oh, that was a terrible mistake. I didn't hear Governor Carter talking about the embargo when it was imposed. I think we understand now that there were a lot of pressures on the president. He didn't really have that many options. He had the pressures of organized labor. He had the pressures of others who were afraid prices might go up. But I still think he made a mistake. But he's said time after time since then, and he's made it very clear, and we have his commitment, that there'll be no more embargoes unless there's some extreme national emergency, like a crop failure, or some other problem that would make it imperative. And America's farmers understand that. We don't want to ship everything overseas until we've fully protected the domestic consumers. We understand that. And I think President Ford's actions in the past few weeks in raising the loan rates just about the right level. We don't want them too high, or the government's going to get back into the agriculture business, just as Secretary Freeman was for 8 years. And his actions on meat imports, I think, indicate his concern about agriculture. And we're going to have a Secretary of Agriculture who's an active farmer come January, and President Ford is looking for that man right now. And so we are concerned about agriculture. And I would close by saying to the mothers and grandmothers and young men in this audience, I don't care what you look at between now and Tuesday. I just remember one thing, as I've tried to articulate the best I can, a horse or not horse. I stood in a draft down there in Houston for 75 minutes with Mondale, and I picked up a little cold. But but we take a lot for granted, America, and I think we should. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, despite what Governor Carter may say about our country and about our weakness. It's the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we are at peace, and we've been at peace. You don't read anything in the Pendleton newspapers or hear it on television or radio about some memorial service for some young man who's been brought home from some war we couldn't win and didn't know why we got there in the first place. Your sons aren't being taken from their schools or from their jobs and put in uniform and sent off to some far-off country or some far-off camp to train for some conflict. And that just doesn't happen. We maintain our peace because we maintain our strength, and we maintain our strength because we have a strong man in the White House, and that man's name is President Ford. And we want peace, and we want freedom, and we want respect of our friends and our potential adversaries. And we're going to have it as long as we remain militarily strong for one reason, and one reason only, for peace. And so I just suggest, particularly the young men, and someone just said in Walla Walla we had, what, 80% of the votes among students? Students are voting for Ford. And we're not going to stay strong by cutting $5 to $7 billion or $15 billion or whatever Governor Carter may come up with next year, or by following the record of a Senator Mondale. We're going to remain strong by, yes, cutting out the waste and cutting out the fat, by making certain that while we're trying to reach some meaningful arms limitation agreement, that we're in a position to sit down with the Russians or any other superpower and deal from strength. That's how we're going to get that agreement. And that's how we're going to stop interfering with the lives of young men for the next decade, the next 20 years, the next 100 years. So let's don't change that. Carter talks about change. Change what? I like it the way it is. I like peace. I don't like unemployment. We're working on that. I like the fact that 88 million Americans are working. I like the fact that the inflation rate has been cut in half. So come next Tuesday, we're going to vote for that change. We're going to change Governor Carter from a candidate back to a peanut warehouseman, and he's going back to Plains, Georgia. He and Brother Billy can talk about what might have been. And President Ford will continue to work for you. And so you'll just devote 4 days of your time, 4 more days, President Ford to work for you 4 more years. Thanks very much.
You admitted downstairs that the campaign has been a partisan one almost from the very beginning. I'm wondering if you think that that has detracted from the campaign and maybe forced both sides to get away from the real issue, discussion of the real issues.
I don't know. It's always, you always wonder that in any campaign. I've been in a number of them, and you wonder why you never really get to focus on the issues more. I think you've got to point up the flaws in your opponent's positions, and particularly in Governor Carter's case, where they weren't always as he said they were. We had to go back and check Georgia, for example, and I think the comments I made this morning came from Democrats who had left Carter, not from Bob Dole or Jerry Ford. So I think you always wonder, there should be a mix. I think you have to be partisan in the sense you've got to point out the flaw, just as they pointed out flaws in our records.
Senator, we spoke to Ronald Reagan in Boise last night, and he says that the president is closing the gap on Jimmy Carter in the last days of the campaign, but he says the big worry now is Mr. Ford perhaps will not close the distance fast enough. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think timing is everything. Let's face it. I think it'll come together by Tuesday. Some say, well, it would be great if we had another day or so. Who knows? It's out there, and it is coming our way. Our own polls indicate that we're slightly ahead in areas that we should be ahead in to win. These last 3 or 4 days will make that difference. President Ford, as I said yesterday morning, told me that he was very enthusiastic, felt very good about it. And as I say, he's rather realistic. I think had he had some doubts, he'd express those doubts. He does know for certain. No one knows for certain, but he feels good about it. He said it feels good.
Go ahead, Les.
Jimmy Carter told a Cleveland rally yesterday that he could not promise the substantial tax cut that he said Wednesday was almost inevitable. Do you foresee perhaps Carter reneging on a lot more campaign promises if he were elected president?
Well, he's never taken into consideration that he has a Congress to deal with. Even though they're his, the Democrats will still maintain Congress, retain Congress. I just don't know. Senator Long, who's the chairman of the Tax Writing Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, Bob Pack was in that committee, I'm on that committee, said that to do all these things, Carter would have to virtually pull a rabbit out of the hat. That was about the time of the bunny problem he had, and we changed that to pull a bunny out of the hat. But it indicates that maybe he hasn't been realistic. He's already waffling on what he said a day or so ago on the tax cut, and now he's backed away from that. Now he's saying, well, I'll have to spend some for new programs. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a problem he's going to have to face, but it could be a real problem.
Being from Idaho, we're obviously interested in the Ford farm policy and the Carter farm policy. What can you tell our farmers in our state about what they can expect in the next 4 years if President Ford is elected?
I think we can expect the same type farm programs, which have been reversed in 8 years. The government is off the backs of the American farmers to a much greater extent. We may have to adjust the loan rates a little bit, take another look at target prices, but we don't want the loan rates too high or we'll get the government back in the farm business. I think we're going to have to extend the medium port quotas beyond January unless there's some relief and prices go up for the cattlemen, because the consumer really suffers when the cattleman goes out of business or the wheat producer or whatever. But it's much like the program that I've supported and Senator McClure supported, Senator Packwood supported. It'll be a good program giving farmer maximum freedom. And no embargoes. No embargoes, as I said, unless there's some dire emergency.
What kind of impact will the third-party candidates have on the election?
I don't think Maddox will have much, but I sense that they're feeling the McCarthy pinch, because I know that Carter is pumping up Mondale everywhere he goes, try to get that ultra-liberal vote to vote for that ultra-liberal Senator Walter Mondale. And I think it's a strategy to go out and pump up Mondale and try to draw away some of the McCarthy vote in some of those areas.
If I may, what's your feeling on President Ford's decision to include the Chamberlain Basin, Idaho's Chamberlain Basin, in the National Wilderness Proposal?
I don't have any comment because I don't know enough about it. I haven't seen the justification, and if I commented, I might be totally wrong.
I've got
it. Fine. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any question about President Ford's record and his character, rather, I should say. People all seem to think he's a good, decent man, but there is some question among many Americans about his leadership, particularly in urban areas with unemployment still high. Why do you think he's the man to lead the country?
I think we look specifically at cities. We've got revenue sharing, which I can say very candidly, has probably been extended because of President Ford's personal leadership. That certainly helps the cities. He has another proposal that's still languishing around in the Congress, and that would provide certain tax preferences and tax incentives to industry that moved into unemployment areas of 7% or more. He's pushed himself a mass transit, and I think generally has a fair record in cities. I think the overriding thing in every one of these, not how much money did you spend or how much did you pump in? What did you do about other spending? Have you cut inflation? And he has cut inflation. That certainly helps the cities. It helps the city's budget. It helps everyone's budget, the mayor's budget. So I think on balance, he has a tremendous record. And you couple that with his tax reduction program, which also affects all Americans, not just those in cities, it's a good plus for President Ford.
Western governors in particular feel recent administrations have not had a very good ear to the West, particularly in the area of natural resources. The president twice has vetoed strip mining legislation. How can you counter the arguments that the recent administration, particularly Republican, have not paid much attention to the West?
Well, I'm not fully aware of the charge. If it's a fact, then we need to improve it. I mean, I just say flat out, if there's been any neglect, then maybe that's some role that President Ford can assign to the vice president who comes from the Midwest, but a little further west than anyone else in this campaign. If the ties aren't there, if the liaison not there, if we don't function, if we're not responsive, then that's a proper criticism. It's one we ought to correct. But I don't know precisely the pros and the cons, but
you've been critical of Mr. Carter for flip-flopping on some issues. You yourself have been criticized for vacillating on Yugoslavia, on declaring wars. Past wars were democratic, and then you said you didn't remember saying that. Should the same standard apply to you as Mr. Carter?
Oh, I think so. I think the same standard must apply. My statement on Yugoslavia is we shouldn't telegraph our punches. We shouldn't tell in advance. I think probably under questioning, I said, what would you do? Well, as vice president, I wouldn't do anything. You know, if the vice president doesn't make that decision, and I said I would not send troops. But I assume the question was asked with reference if I'd be present. I don't recall that being part of the question. With reference to the wars, I guess I should have said that wars occurred under Democrat presidents. That would have, but the shorthand, Democrat wars It makes some of the press a little uneasy. But, you know, the history's there. I'm not going back and trying to plow all that old ground. I'm just suggesting to Senator Mondale and Governor Carter, who like to pronounce that they'll not to talk about Watergate and the pardon and then proceed to do it everywhere, that is also past history. And President Ford is not was not involved, neither was Bob Dole. And it's not Cricker to infer that somehow he might have been. Now, they don't say directly, but they leave everything else to speculation. So we should be judged by the same standards. And I have made some statements that I could have done without, but it's been a long campaign. I generally know where I am and where I'm going, and most of the time what I've said.
You've been criticized by some, or at least depicted, as being the hatchet man for the Ford Dole ticket. If the campaign was starting tomorrow, do you think you'd still like to portray the role as vice presidential candidate that you have?
Oh, I think so. The only one who said that publicly has been Senator Mondale. And he's a good one. He said that neither one of us were fit to run for dog catcher. That's the man. It's the same old tactic that liberals use. They go out and say, this man's going to be vicious. And after they've laid the groundwork, then they really are vicious. And they say that President Ford's been brainwashed. We're not fit to be dog catchers. And the liberal press never says much about that. Well, that's an old story. But I've been called Tabby Cat by Time Magazine and a gunslinger without a gun by another. So maybe I've been too mild. I'll have to go back after the campaign and see. I hope I haven't been too soft on Carter because he really has a bad record.
This morning you announced some information regarding the Alumax aluminum plant. Aluminum plants take a lot of energy. The Northwest right now is discussing nuclear safeguard measures, regulatory measures. The administration has been criticized for its energy policy. Some Oregonians are afraid with another aluminum plant there may not be enough energy to heat houses and to keep other jobs going.
Well, I don't think we can just have a moratorium, a permanent moratorium on production of nuclear energy. You know, we've about, 9% of our energy source or supply comes now from nuclear sources. We've got to increase that to 25%. Same time, we just can't have it uncontrolled. We've got to have safeguards, proper safeguards. That's part of the president's nuclear or energy program, along with production, more production of gas, deregulation, more production of oil, providing incentives, more production of coal. And all these we can do something about between now and 1985. And then we've got the alternate sources of solar energy and geothermal and others that we look at down the road. But we have an energy policy, but here again, the Democrat Congress hasn't acted on President Ford's program.
I
ran out of tape.
The Ford Dole ticket has been narrowing the gap on Carter and Mondale since the convention. Is there enough time left for you to narrow it completely and come out victorious?
I think so. It's going to be very tight. We start from 35 points down, and now we're within a whisker with 4 days to go. A poll in California indicates 6 points up. It may not be that much. I don't know, but we appear to be up around the country. I think we're going to pull it off. President Ford's very optimistic.
What role do small agricultural states like Idaho play in the campaign? Are they integral to your victory? And you think the departure of Earl Butz, who was popular in Idaho and other states, is going to hinder this?
I don't think so. I think Earl Butz had strong supporters and strong detractors. I don't suggest that detractors are out pushing Jerry Ford for president, because many were partisan, many had different views on farm policy. But President Ford moved very quickly to take some initiatives of his own on meat imports and raising the loan rates, indicating his continuing interest in agriculture. And that's what farmers are concerned about. Plus, he said that he's looking for a man with an active agricultural background to fill that post. And that's who it ought to be, someone who understands agriculture from his own experience. That would be my first choice, and I think it's President Ford.
So policy is more important than personality in that case?
Yeah, I think it's great to have friends, but you know, when the farmer goes to the bank, he's got to have something to put in. He can't always take it out. And he may have liked Earl Butz, but he's probably also concerned about the farm policy.
Gun control is a big issue in Idaho also. Where does the Ford Dole team stand on gun control?
We would ban the sale of so-called Saturday night specials, and even these are very difficult to define. I know that President Ford, in a letter to the National Rifle Association, has indicated some agreement with them on how you define Saturday night special. That's it. He also wants mandatory sentences for those who commit crimes with a handgun and some other things in that area to tighten up enforcement. We're against registration of handguns. We're against licensing of owners of handguns. And therefore, in fact, Carter made his speech of all places in the state of Montana. And the Democrats there spent the next several days trying to disassociate themselves from that position. So it's in our platform, the right to bear arms. And we're opposed to registration. We're opposed to licensing. But we do believe there ought to be tough penalties for anyone who commits a crime with a gun.
Okay. Yeah, that'll...
Got my bodyguard here, Bob Paxton. Let's wait till everybody gets set here.
Hi, Senator. How are you today?
Marco.
Good to see you here. You got your equipment working now? Yeah, all Senator. You always remember that, don't you?
How do you have trouble with your equipment?
One time only at warehouse, he found me with a radio that didn't work.
Well, we're happy to be here with my good friend Bob Packwood, and we're doing the obvious. We're coming in the home stretch strong, and we want to do what we can to carry the state of Oregon. Well, we can't pick it up there, huh? Good.
How critical is Oregon?
Well, I think they're all very critical, and certainly Oregon is in that category. It is a very close election. I don't think anyone doubts that at this point.
Are you encouraged by the field poll that says California is going to go your way?
Right, I'm encouraged by any poll that says anything's going our way.
Senator, in your speech coming up that we've seen, it says the financial community is not going to like Carter's election, yet the economic indicators are down today. What about Ford winning the election? Isn't that going to hurt the economy given the figures today?
Well, I think of the 11 indicators, 7 are down, and those 7 are sort of the short term. The 4 long term are up, and there's some impact because of the Ford strike on manufacturers' orders. That's the big flaw. But it was down only about 0.7%, and they adjusted August, so it's just about where it was. It's not as good as we'd like it, but it's not bad.
Senator, what about foreign sales agreements concerning agriculture? When is the Agriculture Department going to have more of a say in that instead of just the State Department?
An example is the grain embargo in 74 and in 76. This year's agreement, the State Department, in a large part, made the decision without any input from the Agriculture Department.
Well, of course, the Department of Agriculture must be the primary mover in foreign sales. In fact, they announced a sale just 2 days ago of 37 million bushel wheat or flour, wheat equivalent, to Egypt. That's about 5% of the projected carryover wheat, which is getting up there 850 million bushel. But I share the view that we should have a stronger input in the department. Though we do get into foreign policies, you can't totally ignore the State Department. I'm going to have a role to play in that as Vice President.
Do you have any specific plans at all, or as of yet?
No, but my hope is to sell more of Oregon's products at the same time we're selling more from Kansas.
Senator, you've been raising Yalta and Potsdam.
I have?
Yesterday,
I visited with Governor Reagan a little bit about it, right?
Well, I mean, what's the point of that in this campaign?
Well, I don't know if there's any point except when they bring up Eastern Europe, which is not an issue anymore.
Well, what happened in Yalta and Potsdam that you find objectionable?
Well, I think we learned what happened sometime after it happened. That's the first thing, secret agreements and the authority that the Russians were given in that area, the same area now that Carter complains about.
Well, who was responsible for that? And how could they have acted differently? I mean, the Russians...
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, then, if you don't know who was responsible or what could have been done differently... And it happened a few decades ago.
Historical fact.
Since we had some problems about the ambiguity of the war, really. Senator, wait a minute.
No Republicans had been at the altar. Then do you think then that the Republicans did not agree with the altar and that was a purely Democratic?
No, I'm just suggesting when Carter moves in so quickly on Eastern Europe, on what was a mistake by the president. We've got to go back and look at history and see how it all started, and that's the only reason we raise that question.
Are you saying this is a problem for the Democratic Party to bear? We got to move.
I don't know if they're going to bear it or not. I'm just resorting historical fact. I'm not going to get into that game again with this group.
That's why we ought to clear it up really right now.
Raising it or is it?
My point of raising it is just cite history. You know, it's there. We can't change it. Roosevelt was there, and I wasn't, and he was a Democrat.
Well, what happened there?
lot happened there that affected Eastern Europe, and that's sort of where the domination started.
And are you saying the Democrats are responsible, Senator?
Oh, I don't think it's an issue in this campaign. The issue in this campaign is strength. The issue is peace. And we're going to continue to hammer away at that. We're not going to get into some debate with the news media. We're going to talk about peace and strength and the fact that President Ford offers that leadership.
Well, you're the one who raised those subjects, sir.
Yeah, I need to turn it around. There. I think that's better, right? Well, thank you very much, and I'm very pleased to be here and pleased to see so many good signs that indicate President Ford's going to win next Tuesday with your help. Must be someone from Russell, Kansas out there somewhere, but... All right, well... I hope you've all had your pineapple juice this morning. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter.
Help us love peanut butter.
Right. Don't buy any peanut butter till next Wednesday. There's going to be a sale on it on Wednesday. It's going to be half price. I hear somebody, that's all right, there's somebody, there are always two or three in a crowd this size for Carter, so we understand that. Let me talk just a few minutes. I know you've been here and we appreciate it very much. I asked my good friend Bob Packwood what he thought of the crowd. He said it's fantastic. It's generally about the size the crowd eats. Gets when he comes to Klamath Falls, and we're very pleased to see so many turn out for the Ford Dole ticket. Let me talk just for a moment to the young men in this audience and perhaps to their mothers and grandmothers and make one very important point. And that point is that because of President Ford's leadership, we're at peace in the world, we're respected by our friends, we're respected by our potential adversaries because we're strong. And we're strong because of President Ford's leadership. And we need his leadership for four more years. And we need your help. We've now been in about 44 or 45 states since the campaign started. I've talked about a great many things. I've talked about President Ford's leadership, but about 2 weeks ago I started talking about what I thought was the real vital concern in this campaign, and that's President Ford's dedication to peace, President Ford's dedication to strength. And I just compare his record with the record of Governor Carter, who last year advocated defense cuts of some $15 billion, and now saying $5 to $7 billion, and his running mate, Senator Mondale, who votes against every new weapon system and for every defense cut. And I say to young Americans, including those who just were heard, if we want peace, and if we want young men to stay in school, not have their jobs interrupted, they're not being drafted, they're not fighting some wars in some far-off place, let's remember it's because of the leadership of President Ford. And that's very important. Thank you. I want to say just a word or two about the housing industry. Earlier this week, Governor Carter promised to improve the health of the housing industry. And of course, this is a worthy goal. It's a goal which President Ford has pursued diligently and successfully for 2 years. As a result of his efforts, housing starts last month were up by 39% over September the previous year and up 18% over the month of August. That provides new employment opportunities for many Americans. In the nine-month period, from January to September, more than 750,000 jobs were created in the housing industry over the same month period in 1975. Now, I happen to believe this is a very remarkable achievement, and President Ford has lowered interest rates on FHA and VA loan guarantees to further stimulate home buying. What about Mr. Carter? Well, Mr. Carter expressed concern that the health of the vital housing industry is in sharp conflict with other steps which he has advocated. You may recall that several months ago, Governor Carter talked about eliminating the tax deduction for mortgage interest payments. And I think you would think what you were able to deduct last year for interest on your mortgage and then just subtract that from your budget. That is one of Mr. Carter's tax reforms. I'm about to lose my voice. I stood in a draft in Houston and about lost my voice. That was during our debate there with Senator Mondale. Every time he says yes in the Senate, I say no, and I think the country is better if we say no occasionally. And I say that.